I want you to look again this morning, a very familiar verse in Psalm 92, where the Word of God gives a very practical but powerful admonition for the everyday lives of God's people. Verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. I want to speak this morning on the subject, dawn to dusk. As you all know, one of the more familiar expressions about farming and about farmers is that they are people who have to work from dawn to dusk. And of course, last week's daylight savings time was specifically, originally recommended by Benjamin Franklin in order to capture those daylight hours when we were truly an agrarian society. Before electricity, obviously, almost everything took place from dawn to dusk, and it's because of that that both the beginning and the ending of every day carried a tremendous amount of meaning. Breakfast was important, and so was supper or dinner for some of you who were here. Sunrise and sunset were the very, very important bookends of each day. Obviously, that was also true in the world of the psalmist some 2,500 years ago. It is good, the Bible says, to show forth one thing in the morning. And another, what's the last two words of verse 2 say? Every night. In other words, every single day of a person's life, of a believer's life, ought to have, in some measure, the elements of both a sanctification in the morning and a benediction at night. That is, the anticipation in the morning and then the recollection in the evening. And of course, the wonderful and fascinating thing about this text and many others related to it is that God tells us. He tells us specifically what it is the invocation and the amen ought to be. That is, what you do in the morning and later what you do in the evening. So that none of this, understand this, none of this is presented in the Bible by chance or by accident. This is not some incidental or unintentional presentation by the psalmist of God. Rather, it is the perfect counsel for an imperfect people who are making our way to Zion in the kingdom of God. You see, folks, it is a good thing, as verse 1 says, to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to His name. But it's verse 2 in which we are told what to say and sing in the morning, and then also what to consider in the evening. Father in heaven, help us now to understand the power and the import of these great words, this great counsel. And understanding it, Father, I pray that it will affect and impact tonight and tomorrow morning and the next night that follows, and so it goes. Help us, Lord, please, to hear and to heed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we all know, is Sunday, November the 13th, 2016. And as with all such days, this is the only one in all of eternity that will ever be Sunday, November the 13th, 2016. There is no repeat, there's no second chance, no overtime, there's no reversal. In fact, you can't even really slow it down. It's not as if you have a remote control. You can't pause, can't rewind. Can't fast forward. You can't play it at half speed. I remember when I was a young man, a teenager, newly born again and so forth, I went to youth camp up in Sand Mountain, Georgia, and there was this elderly, godly, long-time evangelist there who called me up to the platform. And it was in the morning chapel, and he said, with his Georgia accent, he said, "Son, what's your name?" And I said, "Jimmy Blaylock." And he said, "Well, Jimmy Blaylock, I'm going to give you this here $1 bill." And he gave me the dollar bill, and he says, "I want you to remember that every day that God gives you in which to live, that day is just like this dollar bill." He said, "You have to spend it today at camp. And you can spend it any way that you want. You can go to the snack shack. You can give it to a pretty girl. You can put it back in the love offering for me." That wasn't going to happen, amen. I'm just being honest. "Jimmy," he said, "you can spend it any way that you want, but the reason it's like each and every day of your life is that you can only spend it once." once. Yesterday, November the 12th, 2016, God gave you a day. And of course, there are a lot of ways that we all spent that one day yesterday. Some of us were here at church for a while, some folks with family and friends, some people had to travel. Other people watched Clemson lose to an unranked team. So did Michigan. But you know what? All of us here were given a day to spend, and every single one of us only got to spend it once, including with whatever you did in the morning and whatever you did last night in the evening, both of which, note this, both of which, more than anything else in all of those 24 hours, determine what kind of a day spiritually you had and how you spent that day. And so it is here in the 92nd Psalm, we find that along with whatever you do in the morning and whatever else you do in the evening, by all means, God says, by all means, anticipate in the dawn the truth of the day and remember at dusk the trust of the day. Look at it again, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. In other words, the first thing that we notice in the text is what we ought to do in the morning, and that is, number one, show forth the loving kindness of God, which is to say, very simply, always, always start the day knowing of the love of God and knowing that you yourself, as a child of God, are loved by God. Solomon said, God's mercies are new every morning. Psalm 59:16, I will sing aloud of thy love and mercy, here it is, in the morning. Psalm 42:8 says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Psalm 143:8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. By the way, if you're a parent here today, you know that's one of the first things your children should be aware of every single day beginning in the morning. That if nothing else, they're in trouble, not in trouble. They jump out of bed to go to school. Don't jump out of bed. If nothing else, they are loved. If at-risk and troubled kids that I worked with in the inner city in Knoxville for many years, if those kids could only wake up every day with the knowledge that they are loved by a father and a mother, it would instantly change their lives. You think of all the texts that we just read, and there are many more. It is not an accident, ladies and gentlemen, that God encourages us. He tells us that it is a good thing to begin the very first part of every single day acknowledging the love, the kindness, the mercy of God. Why? Well, you know, for one thing, you're going to need that truth and that assurance somewhere during the day. Somewhere along the way of getting out of bed and then going back to bed, you are going to have an encounter. You are going to have an experience against which it is the love of Christ that constraineth you to be faithful or to be encouraged, so that again, in the morning, before you face whatever you're going to face that day, it makes all of the difference in the world if you begin the day, bless that day with the unmitigated truth of God's love and kindness toward you. I'll put it this way. When the Lord Jesus got off of his knees in John chapter 17, speaking in that great high priestly prayer, when he's speaking about the Father's love for him, thou hast loved me, he said in that prayer in John 17. Don't you think that it made all the difference in the world in John 18, the very next chapter? Judas Iscariot betrayed him with a kiss. He may be betrayed by a friend, but he was already blessed and beloved by his Father. He said, well, Pastor, I don't know what you mean by before I face whatever I'm going to face during the day. Well, I don't know. Verse 6, you'll notice, mentions the brutish man and the fool in this world. Verse 7 speaks about the wicked and the workers of iniquity. Can you imagine being tagged by God as a worker of iniquity? Verse 9 says, lo, thine enemies, O Lord. These folks are real people. Can I ask you a question? Where are these people today? These so-called enemies of God. Have they all disappeared since the time of King David? Do they not exist anymore? Were they all hired by MSNBC and they're all cloistered in New York City? No, the truth is we were all once enemies of God. And it is an absolute fact of life in this world that every day of our lives, Christians will encounter and sometimes be confronted by people who don't love you and certainly do not love your God and do not love His Word. So what happens? What happens when people greatly disappoint you? What happens when others seem to go against everything you believe in and everything that you hold dear? Or worse yet, when people attack you and flat out reject you as a Christian, what are you going to do? Well, you know what? You could just compromise to supposedly win their affections and just become as they. You could get tired of the battle and just choose to go ahead and please yourself and have fun and pursue personal achievements. And of course, wrap that selfishness and that rebellion in a cloak of intellectualism or pseudo-morality or open-mindedness, whatever it's wrapped in, it's still going to be a capitulation in the face of the love of Christ. You could quit. Or you could become bitter or angry or vengeful or sometimes deeply depressed. A lot of things, and none of them good, can go on in the heart of a believer who is surrounded by unbelief and opposition. Even our own Lord Jesus Christ in the midday, at the end of the day, the Bible says He sighed when He saw the people's constant lack of faith. And so it was at the dawn. It was at the dawn, the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, that the Father declared, "This is My beloved Son." Soon thereafter, He would be attacked, maligned, despised and rejected of men, and so with every believer who bears His name and is unashamed of the gospel, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So that the question again, folks, is what's the antidote? What's the answer? What is the best material in the shield of faith that quenches these kinds of fiery darts of the wicked? The psalmist says, begin the day. Begin the rigors and challenges of every new day by showing forth, by acknowledging, trusting in the truth that by faith you are loved by God. When the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," He said, start your day this way. Pray like this. It starts out, "Our Father." You have to acknowledge in that very introduction of the prayer that you are a child of the living God. And the Bible says, "Our Father, God is love." God's kindness and God's mercy is an unending expression of the love of God. And let me just clarify this morning that this kind of morning affirmation has nothing to do with what the world's imitation says to do. You see, as the world says, every morning you wake up and you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror, and every morning you love yourself. Literally, look yourself in the eye and say, "I am somebody. I am important. I value myself. I love myself." Really? Do you realize and understand how futile and unavailing and empty that philosophy is? You know, we have an entire generation of narcissists because they were told from birth. And they were told that they should tell them from birth to love themselves and to recognize and see themselves as beautiful, unique little snowflakes. And sure enough, entire generation now, the slightest offense, it's called triggering these days, and they're running off to some safe space, crying to be cuddled and coddled. One national election doesn't go their way, and they're emotional wrecks. And you know, folks, it's not even a parody. Law students at the University of Michigan so distraught over this presidential election that they couldn't go to class. They couldn't take exams. They said they couldn't even eat. I printed out a screenshot this week. This is from their webpage. The University of Michigan law student page. The title says this: "Post-Election Self-Care with Food and Play." Gives the time, the place, Hutchins Hall, 138, Michigan Law. Here's what it says: "Join us for delicious and comforting food, with opportunity to experience some stress-busting self-care activities such as coloring sheets with crayons, Play-Doh, positive card-making, Legos, and bubbles with your fellow law students. That's what they do in that room right over there in twos and threes. The University of Pennsylvania took the time and the money. Think about this for a moment. They took the time and the money and created a post-election safe space with puppies, pillows, and blankets. So did Brown University. So did Berkeley. You guys at Bob Jones have a safe space on campus somewhere? I had one in Bible college. It was called McDonald's and Wendy's. Amen. Wesley, you have a safe space at the Citadel? You didn't have a safe space. They beat them with sticks. That was their safe space. Our nursery kids don't need that level of emotional bubble wrap. It's infantile. Meanwhile, we have 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds in deserts and mountains fighting our wars, going to police academies, digging ditches, training for the mission field. Self-love is not a biblical ethic. And self-love, thinking you're awesome and looking at yourself in the mirror, that does not build a strong character. However, you let a young man or you let a young woman get a hold of the truth of God's love, the measure of God's love, the depth of God's love. And it doesn't matter who's elected president. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter who's the Caesar or the Tsar or the Führer or the King. It doesn't matter if it's Herod or Ahab. When you understand and embrace God's love in the morning, you are prepared for the haters all through the day and the obstacles and the disappointments and the temptations. In 1882, when George Matheson told his fiancée he was going blind, she left him. He loved her deeply, and she said, "I can't imagine my life, the rest of my life, with someone who will be completely blind." He was heartbroken. At just 20 years of age, he had to live with his sister, who was a godsend to him because he was entering the ministry, and she helped him as he went completely blind. But soon thereafter, she became engaged, and on the night of her wedding, he found himself alone in his room. Sitting in darkness, and though he preached to a crowd of 1,500 people every week in complete blindness, he was tempted to despair and to quit as he wept. But that night, he penned the words to his beloved hymn, "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." Every morning, a child of the living God wakes up and begins the day in the love of God. And so it is that David says, the psalmist says, in the morning, I'm going to show it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to recognize it. I'm going to understand before I go out there that the God who was there and in here loves me, and the proof of his love is Calvary itself. It brings us then to the second thing in the text, which refers to the evening. Look at it again, verse 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning." And then notice this is different. "And thy faithfulness every night." Now, wait a minute. Loving kindness in the morning. Start the morning with the love of God. Faithfulness every night. End the day with the fidelity of God. Close the day with the truth that God is always faithful. Which, by the way, is exactly what you should do and would do if you started the day with his mercies. Let me illustrate this. I was at the grocery store not too long ago, and I got one of those carts that we all get, a lame cart. Walmart's the worst, by the way. I mean, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. But this was at the grocery store, and as always, it kept pulling to the left. I don't know why they always pull to the left. I call them commie carts, because they never go right. They always go left. And so this cart, constantly pulling me one direction, I had to fight it. Suppose this morning that this middle aisle right here is the path of life, and as a believer, you are starting out on a brand new day. The problem is, as you go through the day, on this side of the aisle, there are temptations, scorners, enemies of the cross, offenses, grievances, injustices, all of that. All of that and more potentially await you each and every day on your daily path as a believer. And to make things worse, your cart isn't perfect. For some reason, it just always tends to pull and gravitate to that side. It always goes towards those temptations and those scorners. As Paul said, the evil which I would not, that I do. And that's very unfortunate, because on this side of the aisle, on this side of your daily life, in the same daily path, there are blessings and kindnesses and goodness and truth and the mercies of God. There's victory, there's joy, there's resolve over here. So I ask you a question. If you start the day as a believer, and instead of showing forth his loving kindness, instead of understanding and embracing his love, our Father who art in heaven, you're focused on self-pity. You start the day and you're thinking about, nobody loves me. Nobody understands. Life's not fair. Do you know what's going to happen all day long? Ignoring everything over here, ignoring the loving kindness of God, you will go on encouraging your defeat. You will lean towards the offenses and the grievances and the injustices that are magnified by Satan as being bigger than they really are. And it will not be a day of victory for you in Christ. However, suppose you start the day, as the scripture says, in the loving kindness and the love of God. Suppose you walk out your door and you begin that day in your Father's mercies, because his mercies are new every morning. Well, the enemies are still here. The offenses in that day, the temptations, the deceits, they don't go away. However, ladies and gentlemen, your cart got a correction in the morning. So that now, as you go through the day, all day long, you see what's on this side of the aisle. You see his goodness. You see his truth. You see his mercy. You see his expressions of love, food and family and friends, and even a blessing of finances. And by embracing the love and the kindnesses of God, you may hear the scorners over here. You may see the bad news over there. But you're really not listening to them. You're listening to the voice of the shepherd. You hear his voice, and you follow him. Who cares what the critic says when there's so much grace over here? This is why we believe Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking to the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude wasn't talking about that you have to keep yourself to be saved, but keep yourself in his love. What is the natural, inevitable, therefore, and best response for a child of God when you do this through the day? What is the biblical spiritual attitude, therefore, in the evening and at night? It's very simple. You close the day by acknowledging, by rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. Not in your faithfulness. Not in your ability, and not in your strength, and not in your love, but in his. Notice the words thy again in verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindnesses in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, don't start the day out showing forth your ability and then end the day magnifying your ability. That's a recipe for failure. We're just not that loving. And we are not very faithful. But God will show to us his faithfulness. And God's love absolutely is. Look at verse 15. I love what it says. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You see, folks, in verse 2, it says to acknowledge his faithfulness every night. Every night, yes, because God is faithful every night. Day. The Lord Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega of every day, is always faithful to you and me. You'll notice at the beginning of the chapter that this psalm, it says, was appointed to be sung on the Jewish Sabbath. I have often thought that that's what verse 2 admonishes, and essentially is that what we do basically here every Lord's Day. If you think about it, typically every Lord's Day in the morning, we show forth the love, mercy, salvation of God, God's loving kindness. And typically in the evening, we exalt his faithfulness and truth. One thing's for sure. There is no better way than to begin and end every day, beginning with tonight and beginning with Monday, tomorrow morning, the way the Scripture admonishes us. Tomorrow morning, O love that will not let me go. You know, I've been pastor here now for almost 30 years. And I've seen folks, Christians, who've now lived a victorious Christian life. I saw them get saved when they were 50, and now they're 80. And they've lived a victorious Christian life. Well, let me tell you something. A victorious Christian life is simply the culmination of victorious days. And victorious days are simply the result of the right morning and the right evening. You have a life in which you are given a day. And you can spend that day any way you want. Tomorrow is Monday. It's another day God will give you, and you will wake up in the morning, and you will wake up either in the loving kindness of God or the bitterness and despair and discouragement or envy of Satan and the world. And you will spend that day, but you will only spend it once. I ask you a question in closing. Will you determine this morning to commit tonight, when it's tonight and you go to bed, commit to his faithfulness. And tomorrow morning, as they sang earlier, Christ, when I'm waking, start the morning with his love and kindness. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for a love that will not let me go. And I pray, dear God, that as you give to us, you gift us, with each and every day, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will take that morning and recognize those new mercies and recognize your loving kindness so that throughout the day we will see your faithfulness. And so to that end, Father, may today be a day of victory for all of us here for your glory. And may tomorrow be the same, and may it bring forth a life of fruit that remains. Bless your people, decisions made this morning to that very end. For those in this room that are not sure about salvation, perhaps they prayed a moment ago. May they not rest today until they open their hearts to the love of Christ. We give you the praise for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.